This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 132. And on this episode, we're interviewing Mae Kay, who is an epic copywriter that you are going to want to learn more about. So stay tuned. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler. And on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, Heart Hustlers? Welcome to another episode of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. Now, I'm really excited for this week's episode because I've got a new friend, Mae Kay, who I was introduced to through a mutual friend, Kira Hug, who's a copywriter whose show I was actually on quite a while ago. I know. It's a tangle, but it's there. The connection is there. Mae Kay is going to talk to us today about really how to connect with our audience on a deeper level and how there are actually levels of ascension to the way that we communicate and write and just talk to our audience. So I don't want to give away too much, but I do want to tell you this. If you've been struggling with creating content that you know will resonate with your audience, this episode is for you. So stay tuned. Hey, Mae Kay, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Zach. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I'm really excited to have you because we were introduced by one of our mutual friends, Kira Hug, who is a ninja copywriter. And we get lots of requests for being on the show. But when it came from Kira, I was like, oh my gosh, this girl must be a rock star. So let's get her on the show. We checked out your website. We learned a little bit about what you do and we absolutely love it. So I've done a little bit of research on you, but my audience may not be familiar with you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Mae Kay Thang and I'm a launch strategist and conversion copywriter. And I work with purpose-driven entrepreneurs on their online courses or group program launches. And I've recently started a podcast myself. So it's called the Quiet Rebels Podcast. And the whole mission behind that is really helping, again, purpose-driven entrepreneurs to create the courage to own their voice, their message, and their worth in both life and business. So that's me in a nutshell.
I love it. But you're a launch strategist and conversion copywriter. So you really work with people to make sure that their launches are like explosively successful. Is that correct?
Oh yeah. Explosive. I like that.
I love it. So a lot of my audience is really familiar with the concept of launching, but I always love to just get a fresh perspective on it. So can you talk to us a little bit about like, what does a launch actually look like from start to finish? And I know you've got a framework for how to kind of stand out as well. But let's start by talking about like, what do you actually define a launch? Is it what's happening the week of your webinar? Is it what's happening the weeks leading up to your webinar? Like what exactly do you define a launch as?
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't really get asked that very often. A launch is a period of time in where you are ramping up excitement and creating connections with those you serve for a brand new offer that you have to share with the world. And there are so many different frameworks out there for launching, but in a nutshell, for my own process, when I work with clients, is I take them through my Black Belt Ethos framework. And yes, I do martial arts, which is why I can call it that. And just in a little snippet, I know that you really value H2H marketing, Zach. And it's something that I learned quite early on in my entrepreneurial journey. And that is the number one thing that I love focusing on. It's really being able to get out there and to actually sit on one-on-one calls and to create surveys, just to really understand that you are providing a solution to what people really need right now. So that is stage one, because a lot of people rush in with excitement or creating their products. So they're like, oh, you know, I want to give this to the world. But we really do need to validate it first. And to validate it, we do need to have that H2H approach where we're actually speaking directly with our prospects and perhaps some past customers. And then the stage after that is what I like to call brand DNA. And so brand DNA is just really understanding what your unique voice is, because it can happen when you are speaking with your audience. You really want to serve them and you want to use their voice customer data, right? But it can be easy for you to lose your own voice in the process. So those two things really need to work in tandem with each other. And once we, you know, understand what our clients want, and when we understand what how we want to create this, then we can go on to the final step, which is signature creation. And that is where we actually really refine the actual offer so that we have a offer that is going to be validated, is strategic, and it's in alignment with you and what you want to create in the world.
I love it. That's so key. And I think that what you said is so important, that it's like, it's this period of time where it's not just the webinar. Right. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes we get caught up in thinking like, well, I'm going to do a webinar, I'm going to do a challenge, or I'm going to do this thing. But it's a period of time where you're priming your audience and you're getting people excited and you're moving them into being interested in your product before you ever announce that that product is coming. So I just love that you're kind of bringing that up. So talk to us about how we can kind of start to increase our conversion in a launch. I think one of the biggest things that people struggle with is they say, well, I'm going to do a webinar, or I'm going to do a challenge, and then it doesn't convert the way they want it to. But you kind of have this methodology or this framework that we talked a little bit about before the interview. And I love it because it's really about how you show up for your audience and how that leads to conversions. So I don't want to give away too much. I'll be quiet now and let you kind of talk about it. But tell us a little bit about this.
Sure, I'd love to. So something that I just really noticed in entrepreneurs who are really making a name for themselves and they're making such huge impact versus those who are still struggling to find clients and just they're having flopped launches, which is really devastating to see, especially when they have so much to provide, but they're just not quite using the right methodology, I'd say. Well, there's no right or wrong, but there are more effective ways to be launching. And it actually happens outside of the launch process. So what you just mentioned, Zach, about, you know, whether it's a challenge or whether it's a webinar that we are using, you know, as our launch trigger, actually a lot of the hard work is way before that, is how we show up outside of these launch periods. Because it used to be a thing in marketing where you keep something hush hush for so long, and then come launch day, it's like a jack in the box. It just springs out of nowhere. And it used to work like that. But these days, you know, the market is shifting. People are becoming more aware. They're becoming more sophisticated, and they understand like certain marketing tactics that are used. But now it's all about transparency and H2H connection, right? And so actually, everything that we do outside of the launch period, it really actually helps with our conversion in the actual launch, because you are showing up consistently, regardless of whether you are launching or whether you're not. And that is what is creating that know, like, and trust factor, which is so important, and it's so difficult to nurture, and it's difficult to get back if you break the trust. And so that's why outside of the launch period is actually prime time. So what I'm going to speak about in a second is pre-launch priming. So when you are priming your audience with an offer of yours way before your launch offer, it's just like little seeds, little hints here and there. And this is what I like to call the courage to convert scale. So I want you to imagine a triangle, kind of like, do you know Maslow's hierarchy of needs, Zach?
Yeah. So it's like a pyramid with your most basic needs at the bottom, mm-hmm. and then your less basic needs toward the top.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And so it's kind of laid out like that. So for those who don't know Maslow's hierarchy of needs, hopefully this will still make sense to you. So just imagine a pyramid, and it's got five sections. So the bottom section is courage level number one, which is the couch potato. So a couch potato is someone who talks and doesn't do the walk, basically. So they are saying that they want to create all these awesome things, but they're not quite putting in the hustle in order to make things happen. And then courage level number two is the conscious copycat. So this term was coined when I first got into coaching, because before I became a copywriter, I was actually trained as a coach. And at the time, I didn't really have a lot to my name at that point, because I thought, oh my God, I've just graduated from this coaching school, but I feel like I'm the same as everybody else. And so how on earth was I going to do anything substantial? And then I found myself really tempted to want to kind of pass things off as my own, but just kind of like adding my own little spin on it. But I was conscious about it. So I felt that sense of guilt if I felt like I was regurgitating stuff. And that is what a lot of people do. You know, they can claim themselves as experts once they've watched, like a social media marketing training. it's so easy to pass yourself off as an expert because it's not regulated, right? But people, at least they're conscious about it. So they're conscious copycats. And then I want you to imagine a minimum line. So you don't want to be in levels 1 or 2 when it comes to this courage scale. You want to be above that. So the third level is the curator or the collaborator. So a curator is bringing together content. So we are curators right now, Zach, because we are, you know, we're podcasters. And when we have guests on our show, we are collaborating with them, right? And so, you know, we are bringing new things to the table and we are just creating new ideas together. And so it's a very collaborative process. And so that is one of the courage levels when you're able to reach out and collaborate with others. Next stage is when you are the creator. So no longer are you relying on just leveraging off other platforms or other individuals, but actually you're starting to create your own original content. And then this is the next stage, and the final stage is pretty much creator on steroids, and that is the change maker. So they have attached their original ideas to a grander mission. And so all together, depending on where you are on the scale, it's going to give you an indicator of your courage level, your cash flow level, and your degree of competition. So of course, the lower levels of courage where you're not putting yourself out there, you don't have the original ideas yet, you're kind of regurgitating information, around that time, I bet there's a bit of struggle there. But the more you narrow down your ideas, the more you create original content for yourself that is so unique to you and the people that you serve, then you're able to narrow down that competition pool. And naturally, that's when you get known. And that is when you become a change maker, an expert, somebody who's absolutely courageous because they're putting themselves out there.
I love it. And what I really love about this is that it really identifies where you're at. And it makes it super clear about where your conversions are going to be. I have a friend and a mentor who likes to say, you can put out how-to content. And that really makes you the conscious copycat level where you're putting out how-to content about how to do this and how to do that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's something that anyone's able to do. Anybody can go out and create how-to content, right? Mm-hmm. But when you start collaborating or creating content or shifting the way that people think at the change maker level, you are really, you're not just regurgitating or putting back out there what people have already heard or seen. You're actually creating new ways of thinking.
Yes.
And I think that's so key to what you're talking about. So I love that you talked about this. You said kind of imagine a line, right? So we've got this pyramid, couch potato, conscious copycat, collaborator, creator, change maker. And you said kind of imagine this minimum line right above conscious copycat where we want to be above that line. Mm-hmm. So what can we do to make sure that we actually are above that line when we're creating content?
Oh, that's such a good question. This is going to be much more of an intuitive feel. So for those who experience imposter complex, you know, when they wonder like, oh, am I being a fake, putting myself out there like this? Like, who am I to do this or that? Actually, that is a great indicator that you're on the right path because you're conscious of yourself, you know? And so what I tend to do, if I find myself immersing myself too much into other people's content and then creating, then I know that it's heavily influenced and likely to be a conscious copycat move. And so actually I create first, then I add on any sort of perspectives and bells and whistles that I may have learned from other people. But actually, as long as you are the one creating first without any outside insight into your creative process, then that is a good practice for you to get into to ensure that you stay above the conscious copycat line.
Perfect. So it's really like what you're saying is don't go look around at what to create, create, and then go compare it to what's in the marketplace to see if you're on the right track.
I mean, yeah, that it's really a scale because of course, if you're too much underground, then you know, you may not be up to speed as to what's working in the marketplace right now. But at the same time, it's so easy to get stuck in comparison paralysis. And so, you know, a great practice for you to, you know, to make the most of both worlds really is for you to create first. And so it's a pure creation from you. And then external influences can help to elevate it to another level. But so long as the core comes from you first.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's the biggest thing is to make sure that you're creating content from what you know and not what you've seen or what you have evaluated online. It's like, there's nothing wrong, you know, at the end of the day, I think something that we kind of, when we talk about things like this, that I think people get afraid of is like, well, I learned this from so-and-so and I learned that from so-and-so and I learned this from here. And the reality is wherever you're at right now is a culmination of what you've learned, studied, and observed. But what's unique is your, and we've talked about this a little bit and maybe you can expand on this, is your story, your understanding, your perspective. So how do you kind of ride that line? Because, you know, like, let's say we have somebody in the audience who is teaching Instagram, for example, right? They're not the only person out there teaching Instagram. And there's only so much you can do with the Instagram platform. So how do we make sure that we are offering a unique perspective that puts us at the collaborator, creator, changemaker level?
I really feel that when I work with my clients anyhow, because they have the same fear when they're launching, they're like, oh my God, but this person's also launching, or this person, you know, has a much better course than I do. So again, they're stuck in that comparison paralysis. And then, so I take them by the virtual hand because I mainly work from my laptop. I say, hey, let's take a deep dive into you. Because once you go really deep within yourself, and this is what I was talking about before, the brand DNA, and you understand how you came to be, like how this managed to come onto your plate. So if we're going to use that example of someone who's an Instagram expert. So first of all, why do they consider themselves an expert? What experiences, what skills have led them to that point, apart from learning, say if they learn from an online course, for example? I mean, what is that unique spin that they can add to it? And that answer can only be found from deep diving in their own consciousness. What really helps is the internal insight. So when I work with them, I have them fill out a long questionnaire that's just to help me understand what their story was. But then I always, always supplement that with a call and just to really dig deeper into their story, because it's a combination of your voice, literally how you sound. So I run my clients about page or their top blog post, and I run it through a software, and it's actually going to tell me what tones of voice they actually elicit through their copy. So whether it's positive, whether it's confident, whether it's technical or sad, whichever it is, it's going to give me really unique insight into their own voice. That's on a practical scale. But then I look into their value systems as well. So because this is the beautiful thing, that we don't always reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
And that is so reassuring. But at the same time, you don't want to be running the same wheel over and over again. But what spin can you literally put on it? And that is actually coming from repurposing. So repurposing is different than regurgitation, because regurgitation is just literally taking the same method in which it was taught and putting it back out there. But repurposing is as if you are adding chocolate chip into a bland cookie mix. It's just it adds a new level. And if you're going to add, I don't know, salted caramel crunchy, like little bites into it, it's going to add a unique mix, but it's still a cookie. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I did want to be a pastry chef. So just in case you're wondering all these bakery references suddenly start coming from. But yeah, so it's literally working backwards, working through the dots of actually what led them to that point. Because their unique voice, their story is going to resonate with someone. And despite the fact that there may be a competitor that's teaching the exact same thing, what they put out there, which is totally in alignment with their values and their story and their voice, is going to land for someone. And that's a beautiful thing. But you can only do that if you actually take the time to be able to have that internal insight for yourself and your business. And when you attach your brand DNA onto repurposed ideas, then it will seem as if it is original content, which still makes you a creator. It's not making your copycat there.
That's so good. And I love what you're saying, which is like two things really stand out to me. And the one is that like everybody struggles with this fear of like, well, how am I different? And what about this? And so-and-so is launching their course. I can think of two really big influencers in the space who are kind of launching their courses at the same time right now. And it's like the change makers, the creators, the people at the top of this pyramid, they're not looking around going, well, what is so-and-so doing? And is now the right time for me? A lot of times I get clients who say like, well, I don't know if I should launch it this time because I think so-and-so is launching, or I think that people are going back to school, or I think that it's too close to the holiday. And it's like when you start comparing what you want to do to outside circumstances, whether it be a date or someone else's launch, it moves you back into that conscious copycat of like, I'm doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing because of what I've seen other people do, instead of being the creator or the change maker who says these outside circumstances are irrelevant. I'm going to create success from where I am. So I absolutely love this framework where you're coming from there. And the other thing that really stood out to me is you said, you know, your brand DNA, which I know is something that you kind of talk about, but it sounds like it boils down to what makes you unique, right? Mm-hmm. What makes you different? Because, you know, we have this saying that I like to say, especially because we're talking about H2H or human to human marketing, is like, people buy people. And we don't have to admit it, or we don't like to admit it, but sometimes we just don't resonate with certain people. Yeah. Right. Sometimes we don't resonate with people. They get on our nerves, or we don't love them, or we don't love their perspective. And that's okay. That makes us human. But there are people out there who will resonate with you and your messaging beyond what other people think. And I just think that these two ideas are so key to success. Can you kind of elaborate a little bit on that, of like of being unique, and go in a little deeper on your brand DNA, maybe kind of, you know, because I'm like, it boils down to this, but maybe you can tell us a little bit more about what it means to you in terms of being unique and standing out in the marketplace.
You know, there's something that when you're just talking, it just reminded me of something that I've called the rooftop reminder. Is it okay if I share with you?
Yeah, of course.
Awesome. So a couple years back when I was managing an event, there was a techpreneur event that I was managing. And the teacher was basically teaching the audience how to, you know, start a tech business. And then there was a question about this, you know, competitor sort of fear. And then the speaker, his name was Vince, he said, okay, so say if I'm going to start a company that helps to transition roofs, you know, to have solar panels so that we can use solar energy. Do you think I can reach every roof in the world? And everyone was like, well, no. I mean, you know, there's a lot of roofs. And then he was like, exactly. So it doesn't matter if there is a competitor who's also, you know, making solar panel rooftops. Because the point is, it's not about me. It's about who is helping. And if together, if we collaborate on this amazing mission to actually help humanity use more sustainable energy sources, then isn't that what matters most? And then everyone just like, they just was in awe in just what he was saying, because it's so easy to stay stuck in that, like, oh, how am I going to survive? And yeah, of course we need to think about that, because it's our businesses, it's our livelihood. When you operate from that space of abundance, that there's room for everyone, believe it or not, when you just operate your business from that space instead of from scarcity, people will feel it. And that's actually a part of my brand DNA, just to really dig deeper into the bigger reason, because it's very easy for us to get stuck into that scarcity mindset, because it's human nature for us, you know. But through my personal journey, there's a reason why I need to look into abundance, and there's a reason why I can't think a certain way anymore, because it just doesn't serve the person I want to be. And you always want to operate your business in alignment with your own values, because before I started my business, I was working full-time for a marketer who had a six-figure business, and I was his first team member. We ran so many live launches, and I actually thank him a lot for, you know, the reason why I have a lot of launch experiences, because I was in the trenches of them. And there came a point where I realized that as much as I loved the work and I loved the mission, it just wasn't in alignment with my values of what I wanted for my lifestyle. And he was actually a mentor of mine too. And when we both decided that it was time for me to actually spread my wings, because he saw me as an entrepreneur and not an entrepreneur for his business. And he said to me, you know, Nekay, I know that your business is going to be fine, because you've intentionally and consciously created it in alignment with your values. And that's a part of your brand DNA as well. When you actually really understand what is it that makes you tick, because success means something different for everybody. The word hustle means something different to everybody, you know? And so when you are able to understand you on such a fundamental level, then you'll know what makes you different.
I love this concept. And this is so great, because it is that we are all fundamentally different people. The way we teach is fundamentally different. The way we learn is fundamentally different. The way we create products and create vision is fundamentally different. And I love this analogy that what it comes down to is if your vision is bigger than your desire to make a quick buck and you want to really start to impact people, then it doesn't matter if there's competition. Mm-hmm. I have a client who likes to say community and collaboration over competition. And mm-hmm. I think that that's such a beautiful thing is like, you're right. You're not going to compete. And whether you like to think of this from a very like abundance standpoint, or you're very like capitalist and competition is competition, you know, mm-hmm. look at Walmart or not Walmart. What was I going to say? Oh, look at McDonald's, Burger King and Taco Bell, right? You may not appreciate the fine cuisine that they are, but they're all, you know, in theory competing with each other. And yet they all exist in harmony and do very successfully well for themselves. And so I think this is just so important to think about. And, you know, for those listening, I think that there's a big takeaway here that's like, you're not going to be the only person doing it. And in fact, if you're not the only person doing it, that's probably a sign that there's demand in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we have to get back to this place of like you said, abundance, and there's room for everyone. Because when you get to the level of what's unique about you, and then you offer something that is collaborative to the marketplace as a whole, that's what moves you up this pyramid that we've been talking about.
Yeah, 100%. And I love what you mentioned earlier about collaboration and community over competition, because as you were saying that, I was thinking how many of my friends in the copywriting space, how they're also launch experts. And I love and appreciate what they do. And just the other week, I was exchanging my launch lead magnet with my friend's lead magnet, just because they're not out quite yet. But I think actually from the time of this recording, it will be out. But I just remember thinking to myself, like, wow, I love the way that she serves her clients this way. Mm. And you know, I love the fact that a prospect, if they are not right for me in a sales call, I love that I can send them to someone that I can trust will do the work right. And because they need the same method, they need the same launch, they need the launch strategy and the copy, but they don't need, like, I know when they don't need it from me, I know when they need it from a friend of mine or just someone in my network. And I just love being able to refer people, because it becomes this cycle of exchange. Because when you open yourself up like that, when you operate again from a place of abundance, people will feel that and they will be happy to give that back to you. It's just a principle of what's it, reciprocation?
Reciprocity,
that's what I meant. Yeah, that's just it, you know.
That's so good. So I think one thing that I'd like to do, kind of start to wrap up here, is really cement this down. And we've talked about a lot of good stuff. And really, I think for me, one of the big takeaways is like, find out what makes you unique, stand in that uniqueness, don't worry about the competition, and take action to release things into the marketplace. Because when we look at this pyramid, I think the big thing that we've overlooked here, and I'll ask you a question about it in a second, is like moving from couch potato above conscious copycat is like really taking massive and scary action. Mm-hmm. Action on things that you normally wouldn't do, like taking a stand in the marketplace, like creating mm-hmm. content that no one else has created, like mm-hmm. having thoughts that other people don't think, and sharing those with the world. And that can be terrifying. So mm-hmm. for those who are listening and they're like, okay, I get this concept of be unique and, you know, have abundance and put this out there, but what is a really tangible action step that we can take to kind of move us up the pyramid when it comes to either launching or creating our own content?
One stage to solidify your brand DNA so that the concept of your launch offer is going to be, you know, so it's not kind of going to be lost in the ether, is actually going really deep into the root of the why. And this is something that I take my clients through. I take them through this 10 whys exercise. And 10 whys is a lot. it really does, you know, take a lot to actually figure out why is something so important. So for example, one of my clients was a dating coach. And I asked him, okay, so why do you want to be a dating coach? And he started off with generic answers with like, oh, you know, I want to help people find love. Okay. And then by level number 10, he gobsmacked himself. Because what was really important for him was to create as many solid nuclear families as possible. Because there are so many that, you know, the divorce rate is just as, I think it's on equal terms now with the marriage rate, right? And he just wanted to be able to lift that statistic in favor of the marriage so that kids can be raised in secure homes. Not to say that obviously single parents, like I grew up in a single parent family, not to say that it's insecure, but having a solid relationship with both parents, whether it's two females, whether it's two males or one male, one female, or whichever on the spectrum. But that was what was really important for him, to actually give the child, you know, a strong start, you know, as much as strong as possible. And it happens actually from understanding who you are as a person and who you want to attract in a partner to create this family together. So that was way beyond what he thought. He just thought, yeah, I just want to help people find love. But no, it actually went way deeper into, you know, understanding from a family angle of what his bigger mission was.
I love that. So we can really drill down by asking ourselves, why are we doing this? You know, until we get to a really granular, very tangible mm-hmm. example. And then we operate from that vision, which brings us back to that rooftop example. And when we're operating from that vision, we stress less about what other people are doing. And when we're worried less about other people, we're operating above that line as the collaborator, the creator, and the change maker.
Yes, 100%.
So good. Well, Mekay, it's been an absolute pleasure having you. Before we wrap up here, is there anything that you'd like to share with the audience? Can you tell us where to find out more about what you're working on, where we can follow you, all that good stuff?
Awesome. Yeah. So all of it is going to be under the umbrella of my website. So it's mekaysang.com. And actually, at the time of this recording, when this episode is going to air, I will have a brand new website. So actually, the one you've seen before, Zach, is going to be different. So hopefully you're going to like this new one. And it's going to be, let's say, it's going to be plastered with a lot of my brand DNA on it. Let's just say that. and just to give you a hint, I've really embraced my inner child. So you'll see Pikachu on there from Pokemon.
Ooh, and I love it.
Yeah, so that's just part of me. That's part of my brand DNA. But yes, everything can be found there, including my own podcast, The Quiet Rebels Podcast, if you would like to take a listen to that. And the best Instagram, oh, sorry, the best platform to find me is Instagram. Gave that way too quick. Yeah, so I am on other platforms, but that's the number one platform that I am the most present on. So yeah, it's all at mekaysang.com. And I'm sure Zach will pop it into the show notes because my name isn't the easiest to spell just from saying it out loud.
Yeah. Perfect. And yes, we will definitely link up your website in the show notes here. I'll give you guys a link to that in just a second here. But I just want to give you one more big thank you, Mekay. We really appreciate you being on the show. You've shared so, so much value today. Guys, definitely check out her website. She's got some really incredible stuff. Her podcast is great. And definitely follow her on Instagram because this girl is going places and you definitely want to be along for the ride. So Mekay, thank you so much for having us. Let me say that again. Mekay, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, Zach, it's been a true honor and a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So not too shabby. Am I right? I told you that Mekay would bring it and brought it. She did. Now, there's all kinds of stuff that we covered in this episode. So if you want to learn more or you want to get connected to Mekay, you need to head over to heartsoulhustle.com/132. Again, that's heartsoulhustle.com/132. Well, I will have the show notes of this episode waiting for you. So if you want to check it out, head over to the website, check out the show notes, connect with Mekay, and I will see you next time on the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. Until then, keep hustling.